I look at that picture, and we were just innocently trying to show the audience this crooked wall that was built outside of our newsroom.
Yeah.
It's just a very, it's not level, it's just funny, you know, and people were asking for the picture, so we're like, well, might as well put the picture out. And Mikey B goes, takes a picture, and there's a shadow that is in this picture that it looks like someone who was very well endowed. I mean, it is perfect. Like, you couldn't, like Da Vinci couldn't draw one of these things better than that.
That's amazing.
And we have gotten now, and it's at Gio and Jones on Twitter. It's pinned at the top, G-I-O and Jones, pinned at the top of the profile. This has gotten more reaction for people retweeting it, responding to it, liking it, than we've had in probably anything in, what, 6 months? I mean, it's a miracle.
It just tells you what type of listeners we have.
It's an October miracle.
We love y'all.
And Mike went back out there to see if it was just there all the time, and he said the lighting's different. It's like this was a once-in-a-lifetime moment. It was supposed to happen.
It's black.
It might be.
Chances are good. Oh, you got to see it if you haven't seen it yet. I mean, it is. It's that good.
Yeah, someone was cock-a-doodle-doo.
Man.
Are you going to be able to recover, man? Come on. An hour left, dude.
Yeah.
No more picture taking, all right?
That'll be fine. this thing
that
needs...
That damn wall. That's the wall that keeps on giving, yeah, man.
Well, this thing needs the proper attention. I mean, look at all these people that are following us now and responding to this. This is great. So, anyway... Go to at Gio and Jones on Twitter, G-I-O and Jones. All right, I said it this morning. I am sticking by it. It was 2 hours ago. I have not changed my mind.
Uh-oh.
Last night.
You're doubling down.
Yes, I am. Last night convinced me that the Chicago Cubs are going to come back from a 3-0 deficit in this series and win the series. And there's reasons why. In a situation like the Cubs are in, you need a lot of things to happen. One of those things you need to happen is that moment that you point back to that says, that was it. That's what got us started. And you had that moment last night in the game when Joe Maddon gets thrown out. Now, the Cubs were winning at that point, so it wasn't like a comeback moment. But it's a Curtis Granderson at bat, Yasiel Puig's the tying run on first base. Got Wade Davis in the game. Wade Davis strikes out Granderson.
Oh, Wade came a little early in this one. Okay, yeah.
Right, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to go and get a six-out save.
Yeah.
Yeah, when your backs are against the wall. He strikes out Curtis Granderson. Curtis Granderson says, no, I fouled that ball off. I got a piece of that ball. And the umpires convene. They overturn it. They call it foul. So, at that point... Joe Maddon loses his mind, comes running out of the dugout and starts screaming at the umpires, gets tossed. He said that he was definitely going to end up getting tossed. There was no two ways about it. And we'll play this audio again. This is him on his reaction to the call.
It was not a good explanation. I mean, listen, I'm all about the umpires, first of all. I'm not going to sit here and bang on umpires. I love a lot of guys on this crew. I've known them for a long time. But that can't happen. That the process was horrible to have that change. And if Granderson hits the next pitch out, you know, I might come running out of the clubhouse, you know, my jockstrap. I mean, that was like really that bad.
Yeah. Well, I almost wish he would have hit a home run because that would have been one hell of a visual to see. All right. So you got your moment, your rallying moment. The Cubs go on to win the game. Maddon goes crazy. All right. You've got that. You also need two participants in this. And the reason why these two participants are perfect is the Cubs have that thing about them.
Yeah.
We saw it last year, down 3-1 in the World Series, coming back against all the ghosts and all the goat stuff that they had to go through. They come back for a 3-1 deficit, one of the great Game 7s we've seen in World Series history. You also need the Dodgers to fall apart. And we've already seen the Dodgers be unbeatable to the most beatable team in the league. They're very streaky. could this be the start of another streak? You also need guys who are choke artists in the postseason. Clayton Kershaw, sorry, he's a choke artist in the postseason. He is not himself in the postseason, yep, juxtaposed to the regular season. You also need a little bit of the magic that happens in these things. Dave Roberts, the catalyst for the Boston Red Sox, who stole that base.
Stole that damn base.
In game four of the 2004 ALCS,
yes,
where the Red Sox came back,
yep,
and beat the Yankees.
Yep.
He is now the manager of the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
He tempt fate.
Yep.
By saying that it's never going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. It's not possible, what he said. Can't happen in today's game.
So, mm-hmm, all the ingredients are there.
Mix it up.
Mix it up. Serve it to the people.
Yeah. Slap it up.
The Chicago Cubs are going to the World Series. They're
singing, go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
Cubs are gonna win.
I asked you before. Are you with me? You said no. I'm asking you again. Pete, crank it. Brian Jones, am I fighting this battle by myself? Or are you with me that the Chicago Cubs will indeed win three straight more games and go to the World Series?
No!
Damn you. I thought I was pretty convincing there.
Oh, it was very convincing, and I even assisted you
with
the comments from Dave Roberts.
Yeah, you did. All right, well.
You don't tempt fate, man. Leave it alone.
I'm feeling good about it, man.
Come on, Dave Roberts.
Feeling good about it.
It'll never happen again.
I'm feeling really good about it.
It was a confluence of all these different events that happened then in 2004.
Wouldn't it be?
They can't come together again.
Wouldn't it be something if it was Cubs-Astros?
Oh, shut up.
Wouldn't that be something
else? Be quiet, man. Go stare at the wall.
What if they came back after the Yankees won three straight and both these teams that were left for dead fight back to get to the World Series and a championship will be crowned? Well, the Astros do look like they're done, that's for sure.
They're not done.
They look like it, though.
Well, if the Yankees continue to pitch in the manner they're pitching, ERA for the starting pitching is about 2 right now, and Severino was going pretty good in game 2 until he was taken out of the ballgame, and he still lost that one 2-1 because Gary Sanchez couldn't catch the ball at the plate. But anyway, if they continue to pitch, the starters, and the starters have been lights out, man. They were averaging about 4 or 5 innings at a certain part of the season, right there in the middle of the dog days of summer, and they are definitely picked up their game. Maybe some of them could talk to Dellin Betances because we may need him at some point in these next 2 ball games. But the starting pitching has been outstanding for the Yankees. And everyone was talking about the bullpen, not necessarily the starting pitching going into this series, even going into the ALDS with Cleveland. It was all about all the hype was about the bullpen, and deservedly so, and not about the starting pitching. But starting pitching has served notice that, hey, we can ball.
Yeah, Tanaka amazing last night, there's no doubt. And I don't think that the Astros are done because I think they're going to win on Friday night with Verlander on the mound. I think he's going to go as long as humanly possible in that game. He's going to throw about 140 pitches, and he's going to be great. And I think that the Astros win, and I like the Yankees in a Game 7 in Houston, having won an elimination game on the road already with CC Sabathia on the mound. I think he does it again. And you'll have Cubs and Yankees in the World Series after the Cubs come back and do what they do because the Dodgers are going down.
Okay.
Yeah, but the Yankees right now, they look like, I mean, the Dodgers, of course, up until the loss last night, it's hard to argue against them. But the Yankees are more impressive to me because this wasn't supposed to be happening. I mean, the Cleveland Indians were supposed to be the best team in the American League. They dispatched to them, and they end up winning 3 straight. And now you've got this situation here where the Yankees again have won 3 straight. Now, they're much better at home than they are on the road. They haven't, I mean, they don't lose at home. And they
one win on the road, and that was to close out the ALDS.
Right. So, and they've lost 4 games. They're 1-4 on the road. and they won 5-0 at home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to worry about a little bit. But you
6-0
only got
at home. 6-0? Well, they won the wild card game at
6-0,
home.
6-0, right.
6-0 at home.
6-0, because they won 3 straight at home here. 6-0 at home. And 1-4 on the road. So you have to concern yourself with that. But all you need is one there in Houston.
Just one, baby.
So
just give me one, dog.
I feel pretty good about that. There's no doubt. So, I mean.
You just said that. You said that. You feel pretty good about the Yankees winning one of the next two.
I did. I said it several times today.
I was confirming what you said. Because you said Verlander will win tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to win game 6.
You're going down.
And then game 7, the Yankees are going to win. Just and they're like going to go Keiko, to the World Series.
It's ending tomorrow.
And that
just
was
like Keiko. My Astro buddy, Rocket Man, text me, George, my reply to you was, Keiko is owed an ass whipping by the Yankees. And what did he get? An ass whipping.
Yeah, he did. I guess that's
Verlander's owed one, not just for what he did in game two, but his days back with the Detroit Tigers.
You're having a tough time with Verlander today.
Verlander.
There you go.
Zoolander
deserves
one, too.
And that's something we spent a lot of time on in the start of the show, but Dallas Keuchel's ability to shut down the Yankees and how you thought it might happen again, and here they were adjusting. And I don't think the Keuchel was bad. I just think that the Yankees were able to do more with him than they normally do. I don't think that Keuchel was missing a ton of spots. I think that their approach to the plate was better. And they said it. They said they got to make this guy throw strikes. We're not going to let him get away with this stuff. We're not going to bail him out with stuff away from the plate. And that's how we're going to attack him. And they did.
Right. So. No, don't expand the strike zone. Don't assist him in his efforts to strike you out. You saw some of that early on. He got Judge early. He got Sanchez. And I think he had 3 or 4 straight strikeouts. And then they were able to get to him, starting with Castro. And you get into that bullpen. And you know, they took advantage. We got one run there with the home run by Sanchez. So you're right. Keiko, man, if it's low, let it go. And Verlander, you know, he's going to bring a little bit more heat than Keiko does, but he has some breaking ball capabilities as well. So we'll see if it's more of a fair fight in this one than it was in the last time the Yankees hooked up against Verlander.
What do you think about the Fox pre- and post-game show with Kevin Burkhardt, who is a friend? I like Kevin a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A-Rod, Big Poppy, Keith Hernandez, and Frank Thomas.
I can't say I've sat there and watched it intently for serious amount of time. It's just all right. Maybe too many personalities up there. Too many guys who are similar.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like it. I've made that decision. Mm-hmm. I've watched enough now to say that I don't like it. Now A-Rod is really good. He's definitely good, but there's too many guys, and they go like right down the line every time. And it's so formulaic. Like it's like A-Rod talks, then Ortiz talks.
Yeah.
Then Keith talks. Then Frank talks. And and it's just very, very, they spew out a lot of cliches and a lot of obvious things. And Keith, who is one of my favorite people, Keith Hernandez, I absolutely adore this guy. You know, he has a house out in Sag Harbor on Long Island, and like he bolts out of the games when he calls the Mets games and wants to get home. You know, I asked him, you know, why you do that drive so much when you could be relaxing? He goes, I have the money. You know, I mean, that's what he's just the man. He's one of my favorite Mets. But he seems uncomfortable up there. He seems like he's nervous about it, like he really wants to do a good job because it's an opportunity there, and he's not being himself. He's relying on a lot of notes that he has. He's sort of speeding through things. He doesn't know when to talk. It's very...
Well, they just got together. These guys have gotten together now for, the last week or so. And you would think he would be able to carve out when to speak and how to speak. And you would think he'd be himself. And especially a gentleman that age and as long as he's been doing this. Initially, yeah, with all those different guys there, you have to find a way to impart yourself as far as the conversation goes, and they should have ironed that out by now. But there's a lot of laughing and having fun, which is part of it. But I've gathered some good information. We talked about it last week when Big Poppy was talking about how does Judge get out of his slump. Well, you've got to get some guys on base in front of him. That way he'll see some different pitches, and that came to fruition. So they are conveying some good knowledge as far as how they approach certain pitchers and went about their Hall of Fame careers. That's good. You know, but some of it is when I have paid attention, you know, some of the stuff is overkill, what they're doing. You A-Rod with the ring. Okay, we get it. We're done with you showing off your World Series ring with the Yankees and putting it in front of Big Poppy.
Yeah, that's a gimmick that's gone old. And they, when they all stand around holding the bat, like, and they're just loitering with the bat, it's just so annoying to me. It's like they all have their own bat, and they're all like loitering and stepping forward and stepping back and then pretending to swing and not pretending to swing. If I was in charge of that show and hiring, I would have a hitter, a pitcher, and a manager. That's what I would have. I wouldn't have four of the same damn guys.
Yes.
Because that's what they have.
Right.
So, and then you go, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, the NFL today has done a nice job with that, right? Like, yeah, they've got Phil and Boomer, which are similar to two, you know,
quarterbacks.
But you've got Nate Burleson, who's a young guy who's a wide receiver. You've got a coach there,
linebacker,
right?
In Bill Cowher.
In Bill Cowher. So I mean, there's different ways to build those things, and I don't think that they did it the right way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got some pain.
Yeah.
And you've been taking some stuff, so you don't have some pain.
See, you good.
Yeah.
That's why you my sidekick right there, man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He's Batman. I'm Robin. Uh-huh. There it is. Yeah. Here's the deal, folks. Relief Factor is not just for former or present athletes. Not at all. It's for anyone struggling with pain. Yes, athletes, but also, yes, for anyone with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, foot pain, hand pain, or general muscle aches and pain. You can be 30 or you can be 95. If you're in pain, I suggest you give Relief Factor a try. Can't guarantee it will work, but here's a tip. Almost 80% of people who ordered a 3-week quick start for only $19.95 go on to order it again. That's under $1 a day to see if it can work for you like it did and does for me. And it's 100% drug-free. Honestly, if lowering or eliminating your pain for $19.95 sounds like too much money, then you must not be in much pain. Order the 3-week quick start for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. I'm pleased to announce that for all of October, the owners of Relief Factor are donating $5 of each $19.95 3-week quick start to children in need. So help them out and help your pain out. Get rid of it. Go to ReliefFactor.com to order now. That's ReliefFactor.com.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
We've got Bill Reiter of CBS Sports Radio and CBSSports.com joining us in just a couple of minutes. His show, Reiter Than You, airs at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on this very network.
I'm Reiter Than You.
No, you're not.
He's apparently a really nice guy. He's got a very condescending name to the show. You know? It's odd.
I'm Reiter Than You.
So we've got
Dookie.
We've got Andrew Bogish first, and then Bill Reiter after that.
He's always right.
Of course he is.
Not true. This is correct, though. Game 6 of the ALCS is just a formality. The Yankees flying to Houston for one more win before starting the World Series next week, likely at Dodger Stadium. Astros lefty Dallas Keuchel, so cute when he's blindly optimistic.
We did what we had to do the first two games. They did what they had to do the middle games, and now we're looking to regroup and get back to Houston and do our job.
Keuchel allowed 4 runs over 4 2/3 in Game 5 yesterday, 7 3 innings. Meanwhile, from Yankee starter Masahiro Tanaka, the Astros now hitting 147 in this series. That would be the lowest in LCS history. Justin Verlander and Luis Severino go through the motions on the mound tomorrow night in Houston. Then the Yankees again prep for Game 1 of the Fall Classic Tuesday night. It's likely in L.A., with the Dodgers now leading the Cubs 3-1. In the NLCS, last year's champs able to avoid the sweep last night.
Here's the windup and the 1-1 to Baez. Drilled in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's gone. That ball is going to be a home run. The Cubs with another home run. Javier Baez right down the line and left.
Cubs lead 2-0.
That's Pat Hughes on Cubs Radio. A pair of solo shots from Javi Baez, who started the night hitless in 20 postseason at-bats. One from Wilson Contreras for a 3-2 home win. Wade Davis got the final six outs.
Contreras had a little bat flip there, didn't
he?
So no one's upset?
Feet. No.
Nah? Oh, okay. Cool.
The series goes to Game 5. First pitch tonight shortly after 8 Eastern at Wrigley. Gordon Hayward had surgery last night for his broken leg and dislocated ankle. The Celtics yet to set a timetable for his recovery, but Hayward's agent does not expect his client to play again this season. The Celtics lost their home opener 108-100 to the Bucks. 11 games total on the first full slate of the NBA season, including the worst opening night loss in league history. 48 points, the Blazers 124, the Suns 76 in Phoenix. Mike's buddy Devin Booker needs a hug.
We've been working really hard as a team, and we go out there and we don't compete. Just got our ass kicked from the beginning to the end. So, you know, it was a reality check for us. We got to bounce back.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sounds a lot older than he looks.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Devin Booker, but yeah, he's right, though. That was an ass kicking.
Remember, I said he's going to be the league's most improved player? Remember that? I did say that. Mm-hmm. I said that.
That's a good call.
Yeah, thanks. You stole that from me in your stupid NBA analysis.
Everything from everybody.
All right, Bogus, keep it going.
The Rockets down the Kings 105-100. The Spurs held off the T-Wolves 107-99. The Wizards outscored the Sixers 120-115. And Jeremy Lin might have suffered a major right knee injury in the fourth quarter of the Nets 140-131 loss in Indy. Further evaluation back home today. The Dallas Morning News says there have been some settlement talks between Ezekiel Elliott's camp and the NFL. The Cowboy running back currently able to play thanks to a temporary hold on his 6-game domestic violence suspension.
I'm shocked at that.
I mean,
settlement talks?
Who knows? It says it's impossible to gauge how serious either side is, but apparently they have talked after every single legal development because each one of them has had different bits of leverage.
Right, right.
Man, that is incredible.
That would be.
Because the NFL, usually it's like, you're going to challenge us? Well,
yeah,
we'll get
right.
you.
But it's been like a ping pong ball. You know, we win, you win, we win, you win.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the NFL knows a little bit that they are on some shaky ground.
True.
In this, and if they get a couple of games.
Well, you wouldn't use the testimony of someone you hired to go investigate the damn thing. I would say that's pretty shaky.
Thanks, Amy Dash. On the field tonight, the Chiefs and Raiders in Oakland on Thursday Night Football, 8 Eastern on CBS.
You know,
KC has won their last five meetings, 12 straight games, 12 straight wins, rather, within the AFC West. I'm shouting you down and can't read. Greg, I'm done.
All right, Bogus, thanks, man.
That's usually what happens when you shout me down. You lose your voice.
Andrew Bogus. Joining us right now, Bill Ryder, host of Ryder Than You, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio. He also has a podcast called The Flagrant 2, so check that out. Follow him on Twitter. Bill Ryder, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, guy. I'm great. I won't shout anybody down. It's great to be here.
Good. Because you would be wrong.
All right, Bill. What happened to Gordon Hayward was disgusting. It was really rough to watch. It felt for him and his teammates. But, you know, the Celtics going forward, is there enough there to accomplish what they set out to accomplish at the beginning of the year?
No, I don't think there is, unless Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum become superstars overnight. And Jaylen Brown looked really good in game one, and I think Tatum has looked really good in general. But no, I was already a little worried about their depth as it relates to trying to chase down and surpass in the postseason. The Cavaliers, yeah, you're right. It was gruesome. It was ugly. And also I think it does away with Danny Ainge's sort of bold gamble on this season. It's unfair, but life is unfair. They are not going to be a team that competes, I think, in the Eastern Conference in any serious way.
Wow, so no picking up the pieces from that and maybe down the line finding someone you can add to the mix.
I don't think they have the assets to go and make the kind of move that they would need. And no, I think Gordon Hayward was a critical piece of what they were going to do. And now you run the risk of reverting back to Kyrie Irving just taking 35 shots on a bad team. And I got why they made the move. I thought it made sense. They're more talented. But they gave up a lot of depth to do that. I mean, Jay Crowder, really good basketball player, doesn't really get a lot of the credit that he should, but really good basketball player. Avery Bradley, really good basketball player. They lost a lot of toughness and a lot of heart to become more talented. They lost those things, and they lost half their talent. I just think it's a really unfair blow, but I don't think they'll be that competitive this year.
Is this new-look Cavaliers team better than what we saw last year go up against the Golden State Warriors?
So not as certain on this one. My sort of immediate answer, guys, for me at least, feels like a no. But I know they have LeBron James. Isaiah Thomas will be back hopefully around the new year. To me, I worry they're not as good. Derrick Rose, old and not particularly good. Dwayne Wade, just old. Kevin Love at the four. I don't see it working. I know they have LeBron. I think LeBron may have a career year as he tries to put this team on his shoulders. Almost certainly his last year in Northeast Ohio. And I guess there's time for me to be proven wrong and for these guys to sort of figure it out and be great. But I think at least in the postseason, you need superstars, and you certainly need, especially against the Warriors, you need a lot against the Warriors. But having guys who can create their own shot and go off and take over a game offensively is really important. They had that in Kyrie. He could do it at least a couple times in a seven-game series against a team like Golden State. You know, I guess it's wait and see, and they do have LeBron James, but I worry that team, good as it will be because they have LeBron, will not be nearly as good or quite as good as they were last year.
Bill, when you look at this incident there with the Bulls, does some of the blame lie with management because they were aware that this had been festering between Portis and his teammate Mirotić?
Yeah, 100%. I like and I know Fred Hoiberg. I think he's a really smart guy and obviously a great collegiate coach. But this is a guy, look, I get it, hard to sort of step in and fill Thibodeau's shoes, and it's a very different culture, and you're going to run a different offense, and it's a different approach. But he's had trouble sort of having the respect of that locker room the way that you need in the NBA. It's a part of the job, and that's a tough transition, no matter what your background is, from successful college coach to successful NBA coach. And this is at least in part, maybe large part, an extension of that. I don't think that happens in a Greg Popovich or an Eric Spoelstra even, or a Tom Thibodeau or a Doc Rivers locker room / practice. So I absolutely would blame management, the coaching staff, and a culture that allows that to happen. You blame Portis because you can't punch your teammate in the face, but that doesn't happen on some NBA teams. And I've covered the game enough to know that the culture you create in a locker room, it has not usually this kind of an impact, but it usually has an impact on your team and your personalities.
Gio and Jones with Bill Ryder of Ryder Than You right here on CBS Sports Radio starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the Flagrant 2 podcast joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Of the teams in the West that remodeled themselves in a big way, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Timberwolves, which one of those do you believe is the most championship-like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is Minnesota, but maybe not this year. I mean, I buy them in the long term, and what they've done isn't sort of some hope for Hail Mary. Oklahoma City, like if we're talking about this season, I think is really interesting. I am aggressively mean-spirited and doubtful to Carmelo Anthony, so you know I have to sort of get over that and believe that he's going to be willing to share the ball and he's going to be willing to do other things. They're just, you can't have Paul George, Russell, Westbrook, and Melo can't all take 30 shots a game. But you have to have perimeter defenders in this league, especially against the Warriors. They have that in Paul George. You have to have shooters and guys that can stretch the floor. They certainly have that in Melo and Paul George. I think Roberson's sort of not criminally underrated, but an important defensive piece now that you have those other guys. They were really good defensively last year. They can be great defensively this year. So if those guys coalesce properly, it's such a big if with Melo, but if they move the ball, I think they're a really interesting basketball team if everything goes the way that it could. If you took like the over in terms of whatever Vegas projects, which I think is 55 games for them, I think they're a really interesting basketball team. I know Houston beat the Warriors in that first game. I don't think it matters. I think Draymond Green was right. Houston's not going to play defense, but Oklahoma City and maybe the Peebles down the road, I think, are really interesting.
Well, Bill, you're right, righter than all of us, but Gio was wrong, and I tried to talk him down from this, but he decided to start Rodney Hood last night.
Oh, yeah. And
Rodney came down with some gastric issues. Were you aware of the pregame jitters that this young man has experienced in the past?
I was not. And I know a couple guys, I won't pretend to know many, but a couple guys that played in the NBA that talked about getting sick before they would play. But the two guys that I'm thinking of who played in the league for 5 or 6 years, who, you know, like a performer would go to the bathroom and get sick, at least in our conversations, they always thought it was kind of weird. It only lasted the rookie season, right? And they kind of figured it out like anything else. usually radio, basketball, whatever, reps sort of cure that. So no, there's so many bizarre things going on in the world of sports. I was not aware of that, and it's a very weird hurdle for that young man to have to clear.
Bill, I'm a Knicks fan, and you get the free league pass deal the first week of the season, so I take advantage of that before I end up having to buy it because of what we do for a living. So I'm watching it last night, and I'm watching Dennis Smith Jr. in his first game for the Dallas Mavericks, and he starts off in the first possession, an alley-oop. He goes out because he turned his ankle, but he comes back. He ends up being a catalyst, and he's really good. And I think to myself, you know, there's this 19-year-old kid from France, Frankie Nalikina, who I know nothing about. Tell me why things are going to be okay with that draft choice, because last night I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be one of those decisions that we're talking about for the next two decades, how they screwed up again.
I normally wouldn't be able, without lying to you, I wouldn't be able to tell you why things are going to be okay to a Knicks fan, even though I'd like to. But I actually, Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be really good. I mean, I think everybody sort of understands, especially with Rick Carlisle and what they do with the Mavericks. Like, he is a guy you can kind of plug in from day one. I don't know a lot about Nikola because I obviously haven't seen him much, but every scout that I talked to a GM a couple of weeks ago, and this guy's not a huge Phil fan, they all say that he's really good. That, you know, it may take a while. It may be a process. But even non-Knicks people are really, really high on this dude and think he has a really, really bright future. And I'll say this. Like, I'm brighter than nobody half the time. And I certainly was wrong on Porzingis. I was in that group that absolutely mocked the Knicks and mocked Phil Jackson for drafting Porzingis a few years ago. And so the same people who told me I was wrong on Porzingis in large part are telling me that this young dude for the Knicks is going to be pretty good. So, I actually think, at least in that realm, in that small bucket, I think things look up for your team.
Spurs get a opening win versus the Timberwolves, and LaMarcus Aldridge, hook 'em horn, looked a lot more assertive. You think he's had a change of his mindset over the offseason?
Man, I hope so, because I loved his game in Portland, and he is just not fit in – he is just obviously not fit with the Spurs. Look, he just got paid a bunch of money, just got an extension, because you have to bet on talent in the NBA. Going back to the Knicks, you can even give Tim Hardaway Jr. $300 billion or whatever the money is, when you have to sort of take a chance. And I think part of the reason they did that is Aldridge is talented. The other is Greg Popovich believes he can always find a way to reach guys and to make it work. And Aldridge has his own sort of special kind of ego, and it is hard to go into the Spurs and figure it out. But, you know, it's one game. But, watching that, I thought, maybe L.A. has sort of gotten it down and understands what it means to be a Spur. Well, to quote the cliche of of the Sixers and Eric Spoelstra back in the day, trust the process, because he is talented enough, if he just lets himself be coached by the Spurs way, to be a really, really good basketball player.
Yeah, but there was no Kawhi last night. And when Kawhi's not on the court, even last year, he picked up the slack and his numbers look good. It's fitting in when everybody's healthy, I think, is going to be the bigger issue for him.
And be aggressive, right?
Yeah, just being aggressive is the issue, right?
Yeah, like
that's the issue.
Or 5 minutes, like, because he has looked like such a scared, shy freshman at the high school dance. It's like, bro, like, you're LaMarcus Aldridge. Like,
yeah,
whatever you're doing, please play like a man.
Yeah, man, go dunk on somebody, dog.
So
do it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to really like the Sixers. The other part of me wants to really hate the Sixers because they're very cocky and haven't really accomplished anything yet. Is this team going to be one of these teams that really develops into something in the next couple of years, or is it just too many question marks that you don't believe it's going to come together?
You know, so I'm always sort of an optimist, and I love young, sort of interesting, talented teams. And my answer is I think they will, but that's also me pretending that Joel Embiid is going to be healthy. Right, yeah. He's going to play 60 games a year. So if you give me a healthy Joel Embiid, I think they will be really, really good. Now, Markelle Fultz needs to know how to shoot. Like, that would be a super helpful thing, not to have that part of his game decimated. But they played. I thought they played the Wizards really tough last night, and they looked young. And there were moments where they didn't look particularly disciplined. They look like what they are, but they're really, really talented, and I think they can be like the T-Wolves from the last couple of years, where they win 28, 29, 30 games, but you know at some point they're going to add a piece or they're going to figure it out and they're going to get a lot better. So assuming that Embiid is healthy, I think they'll be very, very good in a couple years.
Bill, where can we find your podcast?
You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher. You can find it on my Twitter at SportsWriter. Flagrant 2, yeah. On the old Google machine.
All right, very good. And you can listen to him right here on CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Bill Ryder of CBS Sports talking some NBA with us. Okay, coming up next, they are moving the draft, and yes, it's getting even bigger than it was the last couple of years. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The NFL draft continues to move around. I used to go to it almost every year when I was younger, and it was in New York. It was at the theater at Madison Square Garden, then they move it to the Javits Center. I went to a bunch of them in a row, maybe four or five in a row, and had a blast when I was younger and would do things like that. I was disappointed when it left New York, because, and then went to Radio City, obviously, too. I went to a couple there.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed when it left New York. But I get it. I understand. And watching Philadelphia last year and how they showed up and the outdoors aspect of it and how crazy that was, of course they're going to end up building on that. They've made a big deal out of it. I mean, yesterday I have a big press conference and they're saying that Dallas has been awarded the 2018 NFL draft. I mean, they've made this like a bidding process, like the Olympics.
Like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that too, right.
Yeah.
And it's really something. This will be the first time I'll be inside an NFL stadium. It's going to be at Jerry's World. It's going to sell out. It's going to be crazy. And even though I'd rather have it locally for my own selfish reasons, I think it's kind of cool that they are bringing it to different places so all sorts of fans can experience it.
It
seems boring, but it's not. It's actually a lot of fun to be there.
Yeah, I've been to a couple radios, City Music Hall for the gig, of course, and it's more intriguing, and it's more, it seems like there's more drama than the NBA deal, for sure. But I've never gone to that one, but this one is the NFL, and of course they're the big kahuna. That's cool that they're moving it around. I like that idea. That's one that I thought that they, when they first announced that they were considering that they should move on, and they definitely did. You know, Philly last year, you've had Chicago, and now Dallas, and eventually make its way out west. That's very cool.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, Drew Pearson. That was the best part of it last year, man.
Yeah.
I want to thank the Eagle fans for allowing me to have a career in the NFL.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Well, they're going to have to do...
Oh, God, that's great.
An Eagle great's going to have to do that now next year at Dallas. Who could it be? Well, nobody, because they haven't had any Super Bowl wins. So.
Aha. That's right.
They can't have anybody that's going to taunt them.
No. Who's,
what Eagle's going to taunt the Cowboys?
Donovan McNabb. He was on the team that went to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah.
Really?
He's like, come on, really, Donovan? Come on.
You can't. Can't do it.
No pushback. Nope.
Chidi Awuzie. Is that his name?
Chidobe Awuzie!
Chidobe. Chidobe Awuzie!
Chidobe Awuzie!
That's subtly my favorite part of that because, you know, reading the name, just that name is just a perfect trash-talking name. Awuzie!
Yeah!
Awuzie!
In your face with Awuzie!
Awuzie!
Just let it linger on.
Yeah, Awuzie!
You can drag it out.
Awuzie!
Awesome. Really is amazing.
That was amazing. How about this hug, non-hug from between Brady and Belichick?
I didn't think it was.
You didn't think it was a slight? But I mean, I think it was McCourty. He embraced fully.
I watched it. There's a couple people that he was standing up. It was a little bit different because Brady was sitting down and sort of came up to do it.
But he stood up.
So what do you think about it?
See, you're rubbing off on me.
No, you think
I don't think he really cares about his quarterback.
Oh, it's a
McCourty and Malcolm Butler standing up. He gives McCourty the pound. around and in the little hug. Brady, just a hand.
Yeah, there's a video out there. I don't know if Mike wants to tweet it out or our freshly popular
No, don't tweet it out.
Gio just, and Jones Twitter account.
Just leave what's on there.
But you don't want to tweet it out because you know there's nothing there.
No, there is something there. I just want what's there now on the Twitter account is much better and more significant.
Yeah, and check that out, by
more
the way.
More pronounced.
Gio and Jones Twitter account. Yeah. If you missed the discussion earlier, we were talking about all the construction that's happening here. There was a wall that was placed askew. Yes. And
one of my favorite words.
I noticed it, and I said, man, that's bad.
Yeah.
So we took a picture of that wall. It was askew, tweeted it out, and didn't think anything of it until someone tweeted us back and said, are we just going to ignore that shadow?
Mm-hmm.
And the shadow is an exact shadow, a facsimile of a man, a well-endowed man standing there naked.
Yeah, a reasonable facsimile.
It's really a
male body part.
But you can actually see, but you can see the rest. It's like perfect. The whole thing is. So and it was not done by us intentionally. It was just luck.
Yeah,
just luck. I got the flu shot yesterday.
No, you did it.
I did. I went ahead and did it.
Hurt?
No, it didn't hurt.
It's a needle, man.
So.
Penetrating your skin, it hurts.
I was all
hate needles. You guys like needles?
Nobody likes it, but it doesn't hurt.
The flu shot.
Do you crawl into the fetal position before they poke you? I do.
No, I hate
needles.
That's my wife says.
Anyway,
she goes ahead. She goes, "Are you nervous?" I'm like, "About what?"
Hate needles.
I mean, come on. You're a grown man.
I still hate needles.
It's the first time I think it's the first time I've ever gotten it in my life, unless I got it when I was a kid and didn't have a choice. It's the first time in my adult life I've ever gotten the flu shot. And I'm only doing it now for the reasons we talked about the other day. So I don't know. I was paranoid, though. Yeah. I was paranoid when I first got it because I was like, this is it. I'm going to get the flu. I'm going to have a seizure. Because they make you fill out the whole...
Come on, man. You're a grown man.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't hurt the needle.
Doesn't hurt you. It hurts me.
I thought there was going to be some sort of seizure that was going to happen in the CVS that I went to. But it's nice. You just go right to town. A little free flu shot.
Boom. Poking you out.
That's where I had mine.
That's CVS. My PSA for the day.
Yeah, poking out.
Yeah. So Pete, it's not that bad, man. Go ahead.
I'm not doing it.
Get the flu shot.
No.
I'm not healthy, though. I'm fine today. I'm okay.
Well, wait till tomorrow.
Well, it's supposed to be bad the next day, the second day.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, you do. Most people don't get sick.
Disease in you.
I'm fine, man. It's all right.
Your arm gets a little sore, but that's about it.
It didn't. My arm didn't get sore.
Then it falls off. I mean,
yeah, that's what makes me think that, like, oh, no, did they get it in there? Because my arm didn't get sore. Maybe she screwed it up, the woman.
Well, you got a lot of...
No, I don't. It's not that bad on my arms. All my fat's down here in my torso.
I wasn't going to say fat. I was just going to say you have a lot of arm.
No, I don't. I actually have really skinny arms. That's what's so weird about the way I'm built.
Yeah.
I know I have. No, but I'm honest about it. I don't care. I'm built like a Mr. Potato Head doll. You know, I got the skinny arms, the skinny legs, and the big fat torso. You know, so I don't have that much arm. I wish I had more.
No soreness whatsoever.
No, it's good, man. So, good for you. The whole point of me bringing this up is I was afraid of the flu shot.
Yeah.
And now I'm not afraid of the flu
shot. You hear that, kids? Get your flu shot.
Go and get the flu shot.
I'm not doing it.
All right. Well, then stay away from me. You
Achoo!
Sick, germy,
Achoo!
Weirdo. Thanks to Bill Ryder.
Yeah.
Mikey B.
Silhouette.
Petey Meats. Bogish. Jock Alone. And the Ghost. Ghost Hanger. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Kenobi, I'm losing!